So let's recap just a little bit, in that King Pandu had taken over the kingdom, the Kaurava kingdom, the Kuru kingdom, from his brother blind Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra, being the older king, stepped aside because of his incapacity. He'd taken an army, raised a large army. He'd gained all the lands that had been lost from the Kurus over the previous decades, and he'd increased it and come back with enormous wealth. And almost out of, if you like, having exerted himself so much and so successfully, he really wanted an easy life. So he took his two wives, Gandhari and Madri, and he took his weapons and comforts and fine robes and all the rest of it, took to the forest, and he'd send back messengers and have supplies and things sent to him by his brother, until, of course, he got this curse for killing a deer whilst it was mating. He said to the Brahmins who were with him that they should go back and tell the king and tell Vidura that he was going into austerities. He gave them his crown and all the jewellery, his neck jewellery, all his armbands and things like that. And his actual wife said to him, well, we're not leaving you. We want to come with you and join in your austerities. And they too actually gave back their very rich dresses and clothing and so forth. And they took to a life of living on roots and fruits. He matted his hair, he wore bark and deerskin, and they themselves, in a very simple way, followed suit. He wanted to head north towards the 100-peak Himalayas, which was a sort of, not a haven, but it's very much a place where the hermits, their austerities, hung out. And he was very popular, he got on very well with them, he blended with them. And he was coming towards Kubera's domain at the base of the Himalayas. Remember, that's actually where Bhima went when he went to get this flower from Draupadi when they were isolated in the forest. And this flower, beautiful flower, floated down. Well, it's the same location. But as he came up to it, all the Brahmins said to him, it's really too rough. You're getting to an area which is almost entirely snow, or it's pretty cold. There are no trees as such the higher you go. It's not the right place, actually, to take your wives. So he stayed there at the base of the Himalayas. And it was there that he started worrying about the fact that he was childless. And he thought to himself that, in fact, three of the four aspects that he should have performed or completed during his lifetime before going to the next world, he'd done this. He'd performed sacrifices to please the gods. He'd studied the Vedas and gone through austerities to satisfy the seers. And he'd been kind and benevolent to his people. But the one thing that he hadn't done, and that was to have sons who were and should and were expected to perform shraddhas, death rituals, to satisfy the ancestors. And also he was very mindful of the fact that generally it was considered a childless man does not get through the door of heaven. And you may remember he talked this over with his wives, particularly Kunti, getting some high Brahmin to sire and all this sort of stuff. She wasn't having any of that sort of nonsense. And it was then, of course, that she told him about the boon she'd been given by Devarshus, and that she could get the offspring of any deities that were required. And this is what she did. Remember, they had a son by Lord Dharma, Yudhishthira, and then a son by Vayu, Bhima, and the third son was Arjuna. They really wanted him to be a superior son, who would be supreme in the world. And for that, in fact, they went into austerities, both of them, to please Indra, because they thought it was through Indra that they would definitely get a superior son, who would actually be an outstanding kshatriya in every way. And this, in fact, happened. And when he was born, it really was a big affair. All the great seers of the higher worlds, the apsaras, the gandhavas, the deities, they all came to praise and throw flowers. The apsaras sang and danced around the little baby. And there are so many deities that came to worship this great soul that had been born. All these three children had been born about a year apart. And remember that Duryodhana was born on the same day as Bhima, and therefore it was unquestionable that Yudhishthira was the first son and therefore the heir apparent of the Kuru nation. But once the dust had settled, Pandu didn't really play his cards too well because he went to Kunti and he asked her about producing more sons, more children. And she was pretty forthright with him. She said, people just don't talk about having a fourth son. And if you have more than three sons, actually you're looked upon as being a pretty loose woman. And if you would have a fifth son, then you'd be looked upon as being a harlot. And she said to him, she said, you know jolly well that's what the law is. So therefore, why do you casually try and bring it up to me and ask me about it? Anyway, a little bit after that, Madri came to him quietly and privately. Remember, she was the junior wife and she was the daughter of the king of the Madras. And she said to him that, I'm not at all jealous over the sons that Kunti has, and I'm not jealous at the news that Gandhari, the blind king's wife Gandhari, has had 100 sons. But what I'm not happy about is that both Kunti and myself were childless, without children. And now she has children and I don't. And she asked him whether he could approach Kunti to help her have children. And she said, you know, I can't do it myself. I'm too proud for that. She's quite frank. And so Pandu did, and he did it quite tactfully. He went to Kunti and said that Madri had no children and it would be a very charitable and a very beneficial thing if she could give the mantra to Madri and she could have children. And straight away, Kunti actually went to Madri and said, she gave her the mantra and said, just think of the deity you want and he will come to you. Well, this she did, and she wanted the Ashwins, the two twins, the Ashwins. Remember, they were the deities very much involved with health and so on. So they came and two children were born, Nakula and Sahadeva. And once again, as with the other children, the disembodied voice from the heavens said these were fine warriors they would be and they should be called Nakula and Sahadeva. And after that, Pandu approached Kunti. These women are so clever. He approached Kunti again on behalf of Madri and asking whether in fact Madri could have more boys, in other words, through the mantra. But again, he'd got it completely wrong, because what Kunti said, she said, I gave this to Madri and I told her it's for one time only. But then she summoned the Ashwins, which are two people, and she got two children. And more fool me, she deceived me. So don't you ask me again. Poor fellow, he got it all wrong. Compare this, you know, with Arjuna and Subhadra, Krishna's sister. He was very smart. A similar sort of situation. Remember at the end of the 12 months where Arjuna had to go around and keep away from his brothers because of the marital arrangements, things got mixed up. So he was on the loose for 12 months. At the end of that 12 months, he went back to Krishna's country, the Vrishni, and he fell for Subhadra, Krishna's sister. He'd first seen her when she was serving food to them, when they were eating, Krishna himself. And, you know, long looks and all this sort of stuff went on. Anyway, cut a long story short, he approached Krishna and said, really, I've fallen for her. And Krishna was all for it, really. He said, well, the best way to do it is actually to take her by force. In other words, if you go to a Swayamvara, you could well lose out on that. And so he connived with it. He gave his horses, his chariot horses, and his chariot to Arjuna to kidnap her. There was a festival on. They were walking around the mountain. He grabbed her and they were off. I mean, she was delighted. But Balarama, the eldest brother of Krishna, took it very badly. He said it was an insult and they should immediately go. Mind you, they're pretty dozy. They all got together, they jumped up and down, all the townsfolk. Then they had to go to the magistrate and the magistrate had to say this, that, and the other. And that's when Balarama got all upset with Krishna. But Krishna sweet-talked him. He said, what an alliance it would be, Arjuna. What a fine person was, the two of them together. Anyway, they agreed that this was the right thing, and they got Arjuna back and the marriage proposal. He stayed the last few days of his 12 months there, and then he went back to Hastinapura. This is the tricky part. arrived back at the city, he immediately went to his brother Yudhishthira, then he went to the Brahmins to greet them, and then he went to Draupadi. Well, as we all know, Draupadi is no shrinking violet, and this went down very badly. The problem was that, of course, Arjuna really was her favourite husband, and she came out with this famous phrase that when you tie a second band, a tie, round a bundle of woods, the first tie will always be loosened. And he pleaded with her and apologised and tried to do all this. It didn't work. So what he did was this. Subhadra was wearing a red silk skirt. So he asked her to put on a very simple cowgirl's dress, you know, a country girl's dress. And so Subhadra did this. So Subhadra's very smart tool as well, very nice. She went in to meet Draupadi and Kunti too. And she went in very sweetly, very humbly, head down. And she said, I am Subhadra, your serving maid. And immediately the heart of Draupadi responded. She embraced her and said, let us be friends. And Kunti also was very much taken by her. So that was fine. Well, even 5,000 years ago, a householder's life is not a simple one. If you have been listening, thanks a lot.